Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Bay City, Michigan. From 1984 to 2002, he was a manufacturer's rep for a tool company, and then a commercial and residential real estate agent. From 2002 to 2004, he was the vice president of sales and marketing for the Saginaw Spirit, and since 2004, he's been its president and managing partner. He's a two-time Ontario Hockey League Executive of the Year, and his name? Craig Goose Goslin, affectionately known as Goose. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Craig Goose Goslin, the president and managing partner of the Saginaw Spirit hockey team.
Jack,
Goose, welcome, an honor to have you.
Jack, it's an honor to be here and to be on your show, Anything Is Possible.
Can you lead us with an opening prayer, please?
I'd be honored to. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we're so grateful for the blessings you've bestowed upon us in our lives. And Lord, we ask that during this time with Jack that you help us to articulate the words, that the words coming from us is through the Holy Spirit and onto the listeners. And Lord, we pray for the listeners here, Lord, that their lives will be touched, that they will look to you for answers rather than other things of this world. And Lord, we're so grateful for the blessings. We're so grateful for your grace. We're grateful for your miracles, the miracles that we're going to talk about today, because we know they exist. We know heaven exists, and we all want to be there. And Lord, we ask that you have everybody's focus beyond that here today. And we ask you to bless Jack. We ask you to bless this entire show in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yep.
Craig, let's go back. Bay City, talk about your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Well, I was very blessed to have an incredible mother and father. My dad was an electrician at General Motors, worked third shift, most of the time 7 days a week, so his four children could go to Catholic parochial schools. An amazing mother and dad, amazing blessing that I've had growing up with great Christian-based home.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom and the biggest thing you learned from dad?
With my mom was patience, and with my dad was deep, deep love for his children. And both of them instilled those two values upon all of us.
Okay. Let's go back to 1968.
Yes.
You're 7 years old.
Yep.
And one day, something happens to you.
Yeah. It was a miracle. I mean, I had a miracle happen to me in this matter. What happened was I was with a friend. We were climbing a large, high fence. And first time I ever climbed a fence, Jack. And I got to the top of the fence, didn't know how to get to the other side, and I jumped and fell down onto brick pavers and broke my left arm. The arm bounced multiple times on the pavers and broke it in multiple places from the wrist all the way up through the elbow. And so they rushed me to the hospital. I got to the hospital. They put me in an operating room right away. They set the arm. And, of course, technology isn't what it was in 1968, what it is today. The arm had to be set, for make a long story short, in four separate surgeries. And each surgery, after surgery, the anesthesia, because I was such a little guy, I was just only about 70 pounds, the anesthesia was working in my system, and I would regurgitate rather than, and that would happen for quite some time, my mom and my dad would tell me. And a lot of these things I don't remember. A lot of them I do. The miracle I remember. But a lot of these things were conveyed to me by my mom and my dad. And so the fourth surgery, which was 30 days, I was 32 days in the hospital, Bay Osteopathic Hospital in Bay City. The fourth surgery, they took me back to my room. My mother, by the way, insisted that I be in a wardroom with adults. That saved my life. Because what happened in that wardroom, there was four other adults in there, two of them, which I still believe today were angels. I remember their names. One was Joe. The other one was a housekeeper named Helen. And they would look after me, Jack, like a hawk. And when my mom left, they were there watching over me. So what happened after the first surgery, during that night, instead of throwing up, the fluid was going into my lungs and I was suffocating. And Joe heard it. He rushed over to my bed, or as he called, all those for support. They sent me back to the operating room. And it was in the operating room when they lost me. And during that time, the records show it was over 5 minutes that they were working hard to bring me back. And during that time, through my life, I either decided either I was either hallucinating or I saw heaven. And over the last 10 years, I've been convinced through prayer and through others that have prayed over me on this matter that I did see heaven. And what happened was I was escorted through this dark sphere by an angel on my left and an angel on my right, which is biblical, by the way. And when I got there, I saw amazing things. The colors were vibrant beyond. Take the most beautiful flower garden you ever see, multiply it by a million, and it's not even close. That's how beautiful it was. The smells were incredible.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him.
Amen.
So tell us again what you saw.
So what I saw was this amazing gate area, almost like a gazebo gate area that seemed to never end. The depth was incredible. You can't explain the depth. Nothing like we have here on Earth. And the flowers were spectacular. The smells were unbelievable. And Jack, I saw a movement coming towards me, which was love. I didn't see any people yet because I hadn't gotten in there. The angel was still escorting me. And as I got, I believe these were people coming to see me that were coming towards me. And it was full of excitement and love. And I got excited. And then as I was getting closer to it, I saw this big, beautiful, bright light. And it was incredible. It was full of love and compassion and grace and mercy. I could see it coming towards me. And I wanted that light. It was something that you can't describe the power of that light. And just at that moment, I was whisked back. And I was in that operating room. And I was above my body. I saw my body. Everybody in the room was celebrating except me. All right. And I was in my soul saying, no. I mean, I want to go to the light. And so what happened, I came back and then I was under the anesthesia. And then when I woke up, this is the part of the miracle that's amazing. I was out, and of course, I was just a little dude. I was 7 years old. And my mom was holding my hand when I woke up, and she looked at me and she said, honey, we almost lost you. And I said, Mom, I was in an amazing place. And she always reiterated to me that what you said was that you didn't have a dream. You said to me, you were in an amazing place. And I said, well, explain what do you mean by that? So I told her what I just told you. And then, of course, she started to cry. Then she called our priest over, who gave me my last rites, by the way, the morning before. And he came and I told him the story. And he began to cry. Right? And I was like, wow, I didn't expect that emotion to happen with these two people that I respected so much. And then, of course, I kept the story inside for a number of years until my mother, when she was 92 years old, said to me, either you tell the story, I'm going to. And so I did, and that's why I'm one of the things I'm here today.
We're talking to Goose Goslin. When we come back, we're going to ask him, how do you ever get the name Goose Goslin? I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Craig Goose Goslin. You're the second Goose Goslin I've ever heard of. The first was a Hall of Fame outfielder.
He was.
For the Washington Senators and our Tigers.
Yeah.
Tell us about the other Goose Goslin.
Well, Leon Goose Goslin obviously played for the Detroit Tigers in the 1930s. And his claim to fame is he drove in the winning run to the Detroit Tigers' first World Series championship. And the other claim to fame, he'd be my grandfather's cousin. So down the line, we are related. An amazing baseball player, and he was Goose. Of course, we got the nickname from our last name Goslin, with Gosling being a baby goose. And a lot of the males in our family get the nickname Goose.
All right. Then in the 80s and 90s, you were a commercial and residential real estate agent.
Yeah, developer, real estate developer, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Talk about that career.
Well, what happened there is my wife and I, we've been able to work through our community and develop some real estate in our area, mostly 5 and 10 acre parcels. And to make them large enough for people to put estate type homes in. And that was a very successful project for us. And then, of course, through that, I became a partner in the hockey club.
Speaking of which, Saginaw.
Yep.
A lot of us drive by it, you know, Axel. But tell us about Saginaw, Michigan.
People. We have great people in Saginaw. Jack, the leaders in Saginaw, the leaders, those that own businesses and participate in different things in our community, they're egoless and they do things for the community to make our community a better place to live, work, and play. I'm so proud of the leadership in Saginaw with people like Dick Garber, who is my partner in the hockey club and the majority owner of our team. Herb Spence from Spence Brothers Construction. A number of people in Detroit will know Herb because he does so much work here in Detroit. A number of Pete Shaheen and his brother Sam. The list goes on and on of people in our community that are selfless that make our community better.
Those three gentlemen are pretty well known, but there's a man, Gene Pickleman,
yes,
that's very quiet,
yes,
under the radar. Talk about him.
Gene Pickleman is an amazing man. He was the founder of TriStar Trust Bank in Saginaw, and Gene is an amazing Christian man. Brought the conscious capitalism to our area, basically to get people to understand how important it is for business people to participate in good things happening in their community. Gene is an incredible human being that, again, egoless, doing things in God's will, with biblical principles, just a phenomenal friend and companion.
All right, the transformation that's going on currently in Saginaw, block by block,
yes,
because of you and these gentlemen. Talk about that transformation.
Well, Jack, right now we have a number of projects going on that are really exciting. One of them is that Sam Shaheen is leading is called the Medical Diamond, which we're going to be bringing the third and fourth year of the we've got the third and fourth year of Central Michigan University's Medical School in Saginaw, and soon we're going to have year one and two. With that, it's going to become tens of millions of dollars of development through Riverfront Saginaw. So it's kind of like what Midtown Detroit did. We're doing that in Riverfront Saginaw on a much, much smaller scale, of course. But 5 years from now, you won't recognize Riverfront Saginaw with all the construction going on down there that's planned to help our community develop and grow. We have a river going right through the middle of Saginaw. Just great things are happening there with great people really putting their minds all together.
All right, 2002.
Yep.
You become the VP of Sales and Marketing for the Saginaw Spirits hockey team. How and why?
Against my wife's wishes, by the way. My wife and I were kind of semi-retired at the time, believe it or not, at the young age. And Dick Garber and I, we were great part. We played golf together, and we became competitors in golf. And I love the way he competed. And we became great friends because we competed on the golf course so hard. And we talked to each other. Someday we should do business together. Well, then he bought the hockey team, and then I came in to run the business operations of the team. And then shortly after, he asked me to become his partner. And that was it's been 24 years. Our 25th year is coming up next year, and it's been a labor of love ever since.
And in 2004, you became the president and managing partner.
Yes.
Okay, I read the Saginaw Spirits mission statement.
Yes.
Providing Mid-Michigan with world-class sports entertainment to ensure it is a better place to live, work, and play. Partnering with the community to develop young athletes into successful people committed to excellence. So it's not just a hockey team. You're all about community.
It's about community, Jack. Hockey is the vehicle. First off, our league is one of the best leagues in the world. We provide over half the athletes in the National Hockey League. 10 of the current Florida Panthers, who just won the Stanley Cup, came out of our league. 14 of the Edmonton Oilers. Every roster is full of at least half those players came out of our league. It's the real deal. So first off, it's a great league. We have great ownership, and with that, we use that as a vehicle.
And it's the Ontario Hockey League.
It's the Ontario Hockey League, right? And there's 20 teams in the Canadian and Ontario Hockey League, and there's 60 teams in the Canadian Hockey League, which is the bigger part of our whole group. We use it in Saginaw kind of as a vehicle to promote our region, to do good things for the people that live and work and play in our region.
All right. What year were the Saginaw Spirits established?
2002 is when we established. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the age of the players?
Well, that's a great question, Jack. Our players come to us as 16-year-old players, 16-year-old young men, and they leave us at 20. And that's one of the most gratifying parts of what we do is that we help shape these young men from boys to men. And some of the most gratifying times I've had is when a player is aged out of our league, and he comes in to see me and tells me how much he's learned on and off the ice, not just to be a good hockey player, but to be a good person. We still end with values. And one thing that Dick and I don't get involved in hockey operations, we let our hockey people do that. But one thing we do get involved in is our scouts, our general manager, our coaches, when they bring a player in, he's got to have talent and he's got to have character. If he doesn't have both, he's not putting our crest on. So, and every once in a while, we get a guy in there that doesn't have both, and of course, they get him out of there real quick. But for the most part, all of our players have got high, high character, and they're good people. And then we develop them beyond that to ensure first off, faith in their lives, values in their lives, all those things that are important to make them a full-rounded person.
All right, the Ontario Hockey League, as you mentioned, 20 teams. You're in the Midwest Division.
That's right.
All right. Talk about those 20 teams.
Well, it's incredible. I mean, when you look at the team, London Knights, of course, we've our perennial powerhouse teams. The Windsor Spitfires, a lot of the people here in Detroit will know who the Windsor Spitfires are all about. But these players and these teams really become the sports program of their communities. Like London, Ontario, or Windsor, the Spitfires are the main sport in Windsor, for example. And they become part of the fabric. They become part of the fabric of the community.
We're talking to Craig Goosegoslin. If you want to learn more, www.saginawspirit.com. And when we come back, we're going to ask him about this guy that he carries every day, Richard Dick Garber. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula. We're with Craig Goosegoslin. All right, there was a guy, a nobody, named Richard Dick Garber, until you came along and started to carry him. Tell us about this nobody.
Dick is one of the largest car dealers in Michigan, and one of the, I think he's in the top 20 in the country as well. I think he has 27 to 30 full service car dealerships, along with 50 to 60 of the right-way lots, which are all over the country. So he's a very successful car dealer, and more important, he's an incredible person and philanthropist. He does more for our community than anybody ever would even imagine doing in philanthropy.
His organization, 2,300 people, $1.2 billion. And a lot of people will tell you, without Dick Garber, there is no Buick brand anymore today.
Dick's family saved Buick years ago. They borrowed money to Buick to keep him alive. And then Dick, of course, has got the in Saginaw, the one of the top producing Buick dealers in the world. So he's been Buick to the core, and certainly the Garber family are synonymous with the Buick brand.
Okay, let's go back to the spirits. Mm. He owns it.
He does.
You're president. Mm. So the kid's 16 years old. Where does he live?
Great question. We're blessed. God has blessed us with incredible, what we call billet families. They're host families for these kids. And they bring the young man into their home, and he becomes part of the fabric of their family. And he stays there the whole time that he's here in Saginaw. And they feed him, they take good care of him, and we give him a stipend, basically. The billet families get $500 a month or so to take care of him. I think they drink that much in milk, Jack.
Yeah.
It's a labor of love for these families, and we are blessed to have phenomenal host families with the Saginaw Spirit.
Every one of these families, you give them like a key pass at Costco for one of those orange carts twice a week.
Oh, these kids can eat. There's no question about that.
Okay. Yeah. Do they go to school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So all of our high school age kids go to Heritage High School. Some of them now are online because of the technology there. Most of them go to Heritage High School. We have an education coordinator, Pam Martuzel, who works with those kids and very closely to make sure that when they're on the road that their curriculum is well looked after. And then also our high school or college age kids go to Saginaw Valley State University. So they're all in class, and these are student athletes while they're playing at the highest level of hockey.
During the season, talk about a typical day.
Oh, these kids are. There's no time for them during the day other than education and their hockey. So typically, they'll get up. They get to school about 7:30. They're done at school about 11:45. The high school age kids, college age kids, they usually take one class a semester. Some of them two, and then they arrive at the rink at 11:30. They have lunch there at the rink. Then they go out for their pre-practice skates and the workouts. They have a strength and conditioning coach there. We have a nutritionist. We also have a group called Hockey Ministries International that's around us to give the kids a spiritual needs when they have that need, and incredible amount of support that's around these players to develop them, not just as a hockey player, but as a person, and also make sure that we look after their spiritual needs.
23 years in existence. Have you ever had a kid that went to the higher level, to the NHL?
Well, we've got a number of them. Yeah, we've when you look at the number of players that we've had Vince Trocheck with the New York Rangers, Ben Sherratt with the Detroit Red Wings. A lot of your listeners will know who Ben is. You're going to look at TJ Brody with the Maple Leafs. We have a young man right now, Michael Misa, who looks like he's going to go first or second overall in this year's draft. An incredible, incredible amount of NHL players.
You're not his agent, are you?
I'm not his agent, but if I was,
you were.
I wish I were. Yeah, but we usually put two or three players every year into the NHL out of our program. So it's they go to NHL teams. They get signed by NHL teams, which has been a staple for us over the last 10 years or so. Yeah, usually we get one or two guys out of each roster that get signed.
How good are these kids?
Amazing. When you come to a game, Jack, you'd be amazed at the talent. These are the best 16 to 20-year-old players in the world playing in the same league. Can you imagine if we did that with basketball or with football or one of the other sports? Take the best 16 to 20-year-olds and put them in the same sport. So we're very similar to NCAA college football. So the best players will go play for the University of Michigan or Ohio State or Michigan State. And the difference is we have a more pinpointed program where there's only 23 players on a roster. So there's not as many players, and these are the elite of the elite from around the world.
So Michael Misa is going to go high.
Yep.
Last year, the Calgary Flames in the first round took one of your kids.
Zane Parekh went ninth overall in last year's draft. An incredible talent. One of the most talented offensive defensemen that's ever come through the Canadian Hockey League. He's set records, one record after another. Set Bobby Orr's record. All right, so that's how good this kid is. Mm-hmm. All right, he'll be on Calgary's team this year as a 19-year-old, and Misa likely will be also on an NHL team as an 18-year-old this year.
There's been a guy that's been around for years, Brandon Saad.
Yep.
Talk about him.
Yeah, no, Brandon is an incredible athlete and another wonderful human being. Right now playing for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and he does so many things on the ice that don't show up in the stats. With his skill set, but another amazing young man that his work ethic off the ice is an example of how you get there. It's not just talent, but it's how hard you work off the ice with your physical, your mental, your spiritual. That's Brendan Saad.
When we come back, we're going to go back to June 3rd, 2024.
Oh, that's a great date.
And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Craig Goose Goslin. If you want to learn more, www.saginaw spirit.com. Okay, let's go back a year. 2024, the Saginaw Spirits get to the Memorial Cup Finals. That's the Stanley Cup Finals. Walk us through.
Jack, I got to take you back actually to October of 2022. That's when we were bidding on the Memorial Cup. There was four iconic bidders. So let me explain to your listeners how the Memorial Cup is let out. There's three leagues. There's the Western Hockey League, the Quebec, and the Ontario Hockey League. The champions of those three leagues participate in the Memorial Cup, plus the host team. So the host team has to have you have to have a good roster. So you have to have great hockey operations. You have to have excellent business operations. You have to be able to lodge people, so you got to be able to have logistics, travel, all that stuff has to be good. And you have to have a local atmosphere. That's going to be second to none. So that was all part of our bid. And what happened, we had the bid in front of us. Since 1919, Jack, the Memorial Cup has never been hosted in an American city in the Ontario Hockey League. And what happened, all of people in Canada were saying, why is Saginaw bidding? They can't win this. There's no way through this. That's a waste of time. And it cost us about $100,000 to bid. That's how much time and energy you have to put into. So all the resources, you have to go, like our building needed renovations. I had to go to the county and ask for a major renovation to our suites, to the ice plant, to everything in there. All that stuff had to be prepared before the bid. But what we did with the bid, it was four big binders, Jack, and we put our hands on the bid and we'd say, Lord, let your will be done. If it's your will that we host the Memorial Cup, help us to glorify you through the games and through the activities of the Memorial Cup. Amen. So we did that. Every time we picked up those binders, we prayed over those binders for the Memorial Cup. So what happens is, fast forward now, the time that about 2 weeks prior to the bid being let out, I'm in the shower of all places, and I'm singing this. C.C. Winan has a song, Believe for It. And I got the song on, and it just hit my spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to me, and I can feel the Spirit around me as C.C. is singing this song, Believe for It. And I can hear the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, I will be glorified to the Memorial Cup. And Jack, it hit me like a stone hitting me. And I heard it. I felt it. I got out of the shower, and then I heard it again a short time later. I will be glorified to the Memorial Cup. And I was just amazed. I hit my knees. I said, Lord, I'm not worthy to be in the presence. And it kind of was amazing, more than amazing. So what happens now, fast forward 2 weeks later, this is the day that the bid is going to be let out. And again, I got the binders in my office. I closed my door in my office. I put the binders in front of me, put my hands on the bid. I said, Lord, today's the day. I said, if it is your will that we host the Memorial Cup, help us to glorify you through the events and the games of the Memorial Cup. And a few moments later, I heard it stronger and deeper than ever before. I will be glorified through the Memorial Cup. And I knew, Jack, that we got it, that we won the bid. And 15, 20 minutes later, I got a call from our CHL president, Dan McKenzie. And when the phone rang, I knew we had won the bid. And we were bidding against three iconic communities, Kingston, Ontario, Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, and Niagara, all beautiful communities with beautiful hotels real close to their rinks. Rinks are gorgeous. We were supposed to be fourth. Everybody said, you can't do this. There's no way you're going to bid. You're going to win this bid. Dan McKenzie said to me, he said, Goose, I just wanted to call and congratulate you. Saginaw has been awarded the right to host the Memorial Cup. And I just said, glory to God. Because from there on out, we've completed as much as we can, being here today, even talking to you about this. So all the activities in the Memorial Cup, then we're all given to the glory of God. So now we come to the games, and of course, we're the big underdog. These are the three champions of all three leagues, Jack. All right? And they had swept their way through their playoffs, and particularly their last series, bombing teams. And people said, well, Saginaw just better hang in there with these teams, not to embarrass themselves. That was what we were hearing out there on the Canadian hockey circles, right? And so what happens is we win a couple of games, and people are a little surprised with that. And we get to the finals to make this long story a bit shorter. And we get to, against our perennial, the pain in the neck, the London Knights, who have had our number for 23 years. All right, and the building is just jam full. It's 6,000 people in there, standing room only. You couldn't fit a mouse in there. It was so full.
And it was game seven.
It was game seven. This is the final game. This is the championship game of the Memorial Cup.
And, continue.
Yeah, so we take a 3-0 lead, Jack.
In the third period.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was into the late second period. Okay. All right. So we're 3-0. Our team was. We had outshot them early, 21-1. Our team was just. But they were just on fire, right? Late in the second period, London scored a goal to make it 3-1. We got a little tight, right? So now the intermission comes. The beginning of the third period, they score again to make it 3-2. And at the 10-minute mark of the third period, they tied the game, Jack. And all of the momentum was on London's side. They've done this all through all the years. They've done this to us, to where we get ahead, they come back and they beat us. And the amazing thing, my wife is standing right next to me, and she keeps saying, "Craig, God has got this. We're going to win this game. Just believe. Just believe. Just like you believed in the bid, you believe for it. Believe that God's going to do this. We're going to win this game in regulation. I know we are." Right. So she kept, and my, at that time, I got to admit, my faith was starting to wane. I'm thinking, they're 3-3. They got all the momentum. I'm not feeling real good about this. Right. And so what happens, Jack, with 21.7 seconds to go in regulation, we scored the game-winning goal to win the 2024 CHL Memorial Cup. It was absolutely a miracle. And Revelation 21:7 talks about that, and I was told by a number of pastors afterwards why it was 21.7, and a lot of that is based on Revelation 21:7, I firmly believe, and it's I'm pulling it up right now. It says he who overcomes shall inherit all these, and I will be his God, and they'll be my people. And we did overcome. We overcame everything that everybody said that was going to happen, and we couldn't get the bid. God made it happen. It's the glory of God, and that's why I'm here today, because we didn't do this. Our community didn't do this. God did this. He used us to glorify him through the Memorial Cup, and we're going to continue to do that.
You sound like Doc Emrick, you know, or Mike Tirico. Okay. All right. With all due respect,
yeah.
You've mentioned the Holy Spirit 3 or 4 times.
Yes, yes.
And there's a story about 7 years old.
Yes.
You're flatlined.
Yes.
You see heaven.
Yeah.
Your name is Goose Goslin.
Yes.
What do you say when somebody says, "Goose, I just don't believe you"?
You know what? I let God take care of that. At this point, I held the story in, my early life story in for so many years, because I didn't want to mislead anybody. I didn't know if I was hallucinating or if I saw heaven. And then through the years, through prayer and through telling the story to other Christians, they prayed about it, and they convinced me and others that what I saw was heaven. And so if I can say this, Jack, our souls are real. Heaven is real. And so is hell. And I want my soul to be in heaven. And I think all your listeners do too. So if there's something in life that you better check into, is where are you going to spend eternity? Is it going to be in heaven, where what I feel I experienced with an unbelievable love and in an incredible place? Or is it going to be in a horrible place? Where you're wishing you would have made the decision in your life. That's what it comes down to. So if they want to believe that or not, I guess I shouldn't say I don't care. I do care. I do care, because I've all my life I've developed I've tried to develop a good reputation, do things with good character and good values, and I don't want to mislead anybody. I don't want anybody to feel that well, we're just telling. There's nothing in this for me. There's nothing. I have no reason to tell what happened to me. And that's why I kind of kept it in for you. Why should I tell the story? Why me? Why me over somebody else? Why did God do this for me and show this to me? I don't know. I really don't know. I'm a sinner. I make mistakes all the time, but I know by the grace of God, I'm saved. and maybe it's because of my communication ability, and I don't know. I mean, even to this day, I don't know why God chose to save me when I was a little boy.
What do you say to a person that says, "Goose, you've led a cherished life, a charm life"?
Yep.
You've had a silver spoon in your mouth since day one.
Yep.
And I'm jealous that you've got this great relationship with God.
Yep.
But God isn't in my life.
Yep.
God doesn't even know I exist.
Yep.
If I told you my life, there's no way God knows about me.
It's a great question, because I just had it happen to me about a month ago. Almost exactly the same way. When I told a good friend what happened to me, he said, you know, I've never experienced, how do I ever experience something like that? God doesn't know me. God loves us deeply. And I ask him to, this is what I ask him to do. So, and I ask your listeners to try this. For 21 days, give God 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night. And get on your knees and pray to him and ask him to come into your life. Send the Holy Spirit into your life. But give him that 10 minutes. Take the quiet, take all the distractions out. Give him that time. After 21 days, if you don't feel anything, quit. Stop doing it, right? But this friend of mine, I told him about that, after about 10 days, he called me. He said, "I'm in completely. I feel it. I feel it. I've never felt this way before. I've ignored it. I've pushed it away out of my life because of all the distractions, all these things in my life that I've got going on. I never let God in. But we got it. And that's the way the Lord set it up that way. We got to invite him in. And when we invite him in, he comes in and he takes and he gives us the love and the peace and the understanding. And that's where scripture comes in, reading the Bible, being able to understand who he is. It's a relationship. You got to get to know him, right? And if and the only way you get to know him is by prayer and by supplication, fasting, and reading scripture, going to church, all those things. All those things are so important. And surrounding yourself with people that have that same belief and help you to build that faith. And when people do that, they'll feel it.
Goose, I can buy that, but I have so messed up my life.
Yeah.
The things I've done and haven't done. Maybe God can forgive me, but I can't forgive myself.
Yeah. So the guy that died on the cross next to Jesus, he was a sinner, murderer. We don't know all the horrific things that he did. In the last moments of his life, he turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me when you get to your kingdom." That man is in heaven. That makes me emotional, by the way.
Jesus turned to him and he said, "Before the end of the day, you'll be with me in heaven."
100%.
So probably one of the first people to ever get to heaven.
And Jack, this guy never went to Sunday school. He never went to, he never fasted. He never tithed. He never did any of these things. All he did is he turned to Jesus and said, "I believe you are who you say you are." And he's in heaven today. All of us have, none of us can get there. None, with our works, we can't get there. Jack, we can't get there. It's grace. It's why he died on the cross. I remember one day I was praying and I'd messed up and I said, "Lord, I'm such a schmuck and I messed up again please forgive me." And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "Why do you continue to crucify me? I've already died for your sins. Just believe in it and go forward and sin no more and work with me and I'll help you. I'll help you." And that's, we don't need to crucify him anymore. He's already died for our sins. And that's what we just got to grab a hold of that. Grace is such a powerful thing. And it's hard to believe. It's free. It's a free gift.
As our time winds down, would you lead us in a closing prayer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we ask you to bless the listeners of this show today, that anything is possible. And God, with you, anything is possible. And Lord, miracles have happened in my life. And I pray that the listeners that can have these things and they can turn to you for the challenges that they have in their life, whether it be mental health, whether it be family matters, whether it be positions, situations with their careers and the like, that they turn to you for guidance and direction, that they ask the Holy Spirit to come into their life and give them those things that give them the peace that and love that comes from Jesus Christ. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, thank you for Goose Gosselin.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening and make it a great week, because with God,
anything is possible.
Believe in yourself.